Hey everyone, welcome back to Cannabis Insider. It's fantastic to have you all in again. If you're joining us for the first time, I'm Pat Little, and as always, I'm joined by the phenomenal Abby Higginbotham. And today's episode will be a delight for our dear buds, aka Cannabis Insider fans.
And speaking of delight, I'm never not delighted by Pato's intros for me. So absolutely, Pato, we are deep diving.
Not a surprise anymore.
I know, I'm expecting it. So the day that you don't give me a little hype up, I'll be really sad. But anyways, today's episode, we're deep diving into the heart of the cannabis industry. As always, though, but with a true innovator. Mark Kasnick, the founder and CEO of Best in Grass, is joining us today. So get ready for some insightful discussions, a little bit more about the company, and kind of insights in the world of cannabis competitions and consumer feedback platforms. You know, as we get into it, I'm excited for this episode. You all should be too. You don't want to miss. So stay tuned.
Let's go.
Mark, it's fantastic to have you with us today. How are you doing?
I am phenomenal. Thank you guys for having me on. How are you?
I could not be doing better. So we are excited to have you on. Are you ready to just jump right into it? Let's discuss grass. All right. So let's start at the beginning, though. So for those who may not be familiar with Best in Grass, which how dare you all for not. But can you kind of give us a glimpse into how you are, like who you are and what Best in Grass is and its start?
Absolutely. So Best in Grass is a cannabis competition that is state by state. We are here to help identify and award the best brands and products across each state in the legal market. So all licensed cultivators or processors, everybody thinks they're the best, right? Put your money where your mouth is, put your weed where your mouth is. They submit their products into our competition. We create these beautiful judge kits, and then we distribute them out to licensed dispensaries who will then be drop-off or pickup locations for judges, which are open to the public. We are opening this up to where it's a very democratic competition where people from all walks of life, whether you're an OG smoker or grower from the past 30 years, or you're just tiptoeing in, you're a little can of curious, this is the competition where consumers get to judge, they get to figure out, you know, what products work best for them. You know, it's about finding your high, finding your why, and then for the brands to be able to get that feedback straight from those people, of course, anonymously, so people can be very transparent and honest with their feedback. And then we're crowning the best of the state with these beautiful trophies, which I don't know if my background is going to allow it, but maybe we'll show this on another screen at some point.
We vaguely see it. It was shiny. It looked neat from what we could see.
Yes.
We're definitely going to talk about Canicuris a little bit later in the conversation, but I want to know what inspired you to create it. You know, we know a little bit more about it, but what inspired you and kind of what sets it apart from competitors in the industry?
Yeah, great question. So I come from the talent agency world where there is a lot of A-type personalities that I was like one of the only people within this huge, you know, 1,000 person company that enjoyed cannabis, and or at least honestly and publicly. I would make a lot of friends within this company. People were like, oh man, like how do I know what to smoke? Like, what is the difference between indica and sativa? What is rosin? I only smoke distillate vape pens. Like, why is rosin so much more expensive? And people are claiming that it's the best thing ever. So I come from some worlds or some industries where people are, again, kind of curious. They don't know much about cannabis. And I wanted to provide ways for them to dip their toes a little bit more into the industry, spend more money in the industry, which helps out this industry, and get people on the cannabis train for years and years to come. Coming from the talent agency world, ended up working at another large company that ran competitions. I created the model, took it from the model where it was only industry insiders judging, which is great. It's respectable. And we admire those industry panels where that's, you know, very expert and intelligent cannabis consumers that know how to talk about everything from, you know, curing to terpene profiles. But we would get thousands and thousands of people saying, hey, like, sorry that I'm not, you know, this longtime grower, that I'm not this, you know, industry expert, but I consume cannabis and I want to be able to help crown the best in this state. I have a different palate. I have a different point of view. How do I be a judge? And they were willing to pay for it. They were willing to scream it at the top of the mountains that they wanted to be a part of this. So me and my team created the new model, which was the People's Choice model. We opened it up to the public, and instead of 200 hand-selected judges, we made judge kits for about 2,000 consumers that, again, are open to the public. So the model worked really well. We did it in California, Michigan, Oklahoma, Illinois, Massachusetts, Oregon, Colorado, Alaska, you name it. We've been looking at doing a competition there. And then, you know, my team had had the idea to create a different, you know, a little tweak in the model, make it a little bit more friendly to the general population instead of, you know, just the people who have been watching, you know, the stoner culture for the past few years past 50 years, let's say. So started Best in Grass, and we are continuing to operate what we feel are the most honest, transparent, consumer-driven competitions state by state. We launched our first inaugural competition in Michigan. Now we just announced Oklahoma. We're about to announce a few more states, which we can get into. And yeah, we want to bring this all across the country and ideally be the most premier cannabis competition in the entire world.
Well, I mean, we had this conversation prior to the interview, but we talked about that, you know, you skimmed over it a little bit there of it's the consumer opinion that matters the most to make a business. And it seems like you guys are highlighting that is just with everything that you all are doing.
100%. Yeah. We advertise, or we try to have an ethos and a brand that can talk to the weed nerds, but also talk to the people who know nothing about weed. So we want to get all of them involved. We want to get different palettes and different points of view that are helping to vote and review each of these products so that the brands can see what different types of people are saying. What does Pato think? What does Abby think? What does Mark think? We all have different personalities and different points of views. And I think it's important for all of us to be able to help crown the best of each state and give that feedback to the brands.
Love it.
It's awesome. And it's a very important mission also, especially given the fact that, I mean, there are a lot of new consumers who, as you said, they are not experts, and they appreciate like simple words or simple explanations of other people's experiences. So yeah, it's great that this tool exists. And I mean, you mentioned quite a lot of markets in your prior response. Some of them are more like legacy markets, but now with Best in Grass entering Michigan, like one of the most interesting emerging markets now, what factors led to the decision to launch there, and what do you hope to achieve with this expansion?
And maybe we're a little biased just because Benzinga's out of Michigan. So specifically, let's talk about Michigan.
We love Michigan. We love the Midwest. So I'm actually from the Midwest as well. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. So the Midwest is near and dear to my heart. But when we first announced this, we were talking to several different states, several different partners in each state. And we got a lot of love and support from Michigan. People knew me and my other co-founder, Joey Posney, to be running competitions for the past 6 years. We were sleeping in, you know, hotels for 2 to 3 weeks out of every month. And literally our life has been on the road. So although we were working for another company, people really knew us and our faces. And when we said, hey, we're doing something on our own now, we want to start something fresh and revive this competition, a lot of people in Michigan reached out and said, hey, please come to Michigan. Like, how can we work with you? Can we launch this in Michigan first? Like, where do you want to go? So yeah, we took up a lot of the supporters' votes into consideration and decided to do Michigan first. I mean, it's an amazing market. You guys have covered Michigan very well and saying how great, you know, cannabis has been booming in Michigan. It's surpassing California in several milestones. Mm-hmm. And it's just a beautiful marketplace where there's great people, there's great brands, and there's a lot of interest from consumers, especially from my previous experience. You know, states like California, Oregon, Colorado, very saturated. And the consumers are like, great, like another competition, not that exciting. But Michigan and these other states are like, oh my God, please, like I want to get a huge bundle of product and I want to help vote. And the brands are like, yes, like there's so much, even in a saturated market, there's so much crowding. How do I, as a brand, stand out mm-hmm. as a cultivator, as a processor? All these people are going into business or they're, you know, trying to figure out licensing deals and white labeling deals. But how do I make my brand stand out? It comes with getting real feedback so they can learn from that. And then also hopefully taking home one of these beautiful Best in Grass trophies.
Well, I want to go back to the point you made of like, I love to see Midwest representation in general. I mean, with Missouri within the last year, you know, legalizing, it's just kind of booming in the center of the country. So it's interesting. It's smart of you all, I guess, to jump in on that as well. And I want to go back to a point you talked about the judging kits a little bit. for best in grass competitions that contain various cannabis products across different categories. So I guess I want to know that how do you ensure the quality and diversity of products? You know, what goes into picking for these kits, essentially?
So we don't pick the products. And that's the beauty of it is we say, hey, we are coming to Michigan. If you think you're the best, if you feel like you have a award-winning product, submit your products to us. And we talked to different people and look, there's been a lot of competitions over the years that some people are like, oh, I participated in, you know, I felt like there was bias here or there was, you know, pay to play here or whatever else. Mm-hmm. I know that will never happen under my watch. I don't care who's sponsoring. I don't care who is, you know, partnering with us, who our friends are. That does not matter. We are a third party, unbiased competition that is coming into each state. And no matter who we know or who we're working with, it's up to the judges to choose. So we open it's a roll call or an open call to any cultivators and processors. We have to limit it based on the purchase limits in that state. So for example, if we do California, we would only be able to have 28 brands submitting into the Indica flower category because we're going to do 28 1-gram units for the judges to judge. So that judge kit, which will look something like this, is going to be, I might have to take my full background thing off, but this will be filled with 28 different Indica flower entries from different brands, different strains. So then Abby is saying, I love Indica flower. I'm going to dispensary A and buying my Indica flower judge kit. You're taking that home, Abby, and you're judging all 28 items over the course of 2 months on how they look, taste, smell, feel, burn, comment section. We're going to gather all of your data, and then we're going to give that back to Pato for being the brand that submitted into the competition. And then we're going to say, all right, Pato, you ranked first, and you get one of these best in grass trophies. So that's the process for getting the product in, open to brands. Whoever thinks that they want to get feedback and get the chance to win one of these awards is eligible.
That's fascinating. And I also love the time span that you give people to try out these products as well. So it's not like a short amount of time, 24/7. I love the leeway that you give.
Yeah. And that's not just, you know, it wasn't just a fluke. It was based on experience and based on feedback that we've gotten from people saying, look, 28 strains, I need a lot of time for that. You know, I mean, I was a judge for multiple competitions before I even got into the cannabis industry. And yeah, people would give me 20 strains to judge in 2 weeks. And it's like, I got to do a lot. And some people can handle that. And they're like, oh, easy, 20 strains, 2 weeks, whatever. Like, give me 3 days and I'll handle that. But there's so many other people who need more time, and we don't want people rushing through this. We really want them to be diligent and thoughtful and very thorough, especially in the comments, to say, this is my experience. I opened the jar. I smelled lemony diesel aromas, bright green fluffy buds with little red hairs. I broke it down. It ground up perfectly, rolled it in a joint, and took a hike with my dog or fell asleep on the couch with my girlfriend. Like, what is that experience? We want to hear it all.
No, that's great. And also, I mean, it looks like your model makes like all stakeholders get some value out of the competition. So, Mark, can you discuss the significance of providing judges with detailed reports on aesthetics, aroma, taste, and effects, and basically how this feedback benefits both consumers and industry brands?
100%. So a few comments. One, as a judge, when you're logging into the Best in Grass judging portal, you now have an account. You're going to see all the items within that given kit. So within each judge kit, you're going to get a little judge card, and it's going to say, great, you are judging Indica Flower. Here's your unique identifier code to add this specific kit to your judging database. And now it's going to show you all the products. So 1 through 28, click it. How does it look, smell, taste, etc.? And now it's kind of keeping track of that. This is what you're ranking highest. These items seem to have, you know, their own contextual notes, like, oh, I tasted lemony aromas, or it was gassy, it was candy-ish, it was creamy, whatever else. So they're keeping their own. But then we also have plans to have the COA and the full panel test results integrated in there. So then we can say, hey, Abby, you judge these strains highest, and based on the certificate of analysis, these are highest in myrcene and limonene. You should continue searching for products that are high in myrcene and limonene. So it's a way to help them identify what they're judging best and how they can seek those same products out in dispensaries or brands in the future. That's one for the judges. And then it's for the brands. They're getting fully transparent and anonymous feedback. So people can go wild. Right now, you know, we've pulled so many different brands and they're like, oh yeah, the only way I get feedback is just handing it out to bud tenders and hopefully they give me feedback and hopefully they're honest. But half the time it's like, oh, hey, buddy, here's a product. They're like, oh, yeah, it was the best, man. I love it. Keep bringing it on more. Everybody is just sugarcoating everything because they want to get more free product or they don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. This is the way to get real honest feedback, no matter whether it's wonderfully positive or brutally negative. That goes back to the brand so that they can see what people are saying and help improve upon them for years to come. And, you know, we've seen a lot of people in the past get a feedback report, say, wow, I did not realize that this is what people were saying. Like, it smells good. It looks good, but it doesn't smoke good. So now how do I fix that for next year and come back and try to win an award again?
Honesty is the best policy. Yeah,
it really is.
No, and also I'm thinking that in new markets, emerging markets like Michigan, the educational part for customers is very important. And maybe when you talk about cannabinoids and terpenes and all that, maybe that gets lost in the message for at least some of the new consumers. So yeah, I think this is a very good service, very interesting.
And speaking of like new users, I want to go back to Canna Curious. So Best in Grass, like you said, aims to appeal to a broader base of consumers. So including Canna Curious, like how do you plan and how do you engage and educate this demographic?
Yeah, great question. So first off, there's a lot of competitions that have historical legacies, but it's come from legacy markets. So there's a very, you know, putting my hands up, stoner culture. Whether some people think the word stoner is great or not great, that's up to interpretation. But there's a lot of people who are not, who are that kind of curious group who are like, ah, that competition seems like I don't fit in. I'm not this OG grower. I'm not this, you know, hippie style or super stoner bro style. There's a lot of people, you know, I get along with all those types of people. But some of my friends are like, you go to these events, like, how do you have fun? Like, are these your people? And I'm like, yeah, like all these people, like this is the community, like get involved. But some people are very nervous or apprehensive to join those types of events and join those types of competitions. So there's a good group of amazing competitions that will reach that audience. But then we're filling the gap that will fill the audience for the people that I've experienced in my previous, you know, industries, like the talent agency world, the music world, the comedy world, so on and so forth, that are saying, hey, like, I would love to be a judge, but like, am I fit for that? Is that kind of my scene? Like, what's the deal? So I think with our branding, with our ethos, with some of our faces to the names, like me, myself and some of my teammates, we can resonate more with a broader audience. And we are reaching out to larger Gen Pop media outlets to get more coverage and get in front of their audience. So in Michigan, we were on CBS News in Detroit. We were able to get our word out and we got a lot of really good feedback, both from CBS and some of the outreach that they had, but also directly to us and people saying, hey, I saw you on CBS News. I saw, you know, Fox News post something about you guys. Like we never knew about this competition or any other competitions, but like, this is our media consumption. This is where we find our news. We saw you, we're interested now, and now we're dipping our toes in.
And it's just amazing to hear about, because there is a stigma with, you know, the word stoner, people who can, you know, partake quite a bit during the week. It's dated. So, I mean, this is an interesting way to kind of normalize it and kind of get more people into the world, in the cannabis world.
Exactly. And it's interesting because, you know, there's, again, it's up to interpretation. I consume daily. I can't consume in the morning or during the day. It's more so nighttime for me. So a lot of people in my industry or in our industry, they're like, oh, you're such a light smoker. You don't smoke when you wake up or throughout the day or before conference calls. It's like, sadly not. I mean, I wish I could, but I'm not fully my 100% self. I can't do emails and Google Sheets and all the things that I need to do. So it's end of the day when I feel like I had an amazing day of productivity. Now I can rest and disconnect with a great joint or a good hit of some rosin dabs. But yeah, there's a lot of people. Yeah. So there's some people who think like, oh, he's not a real cannabis guy or whatever, because I'm not smoking all day, every day. But then, you know, I talk to other friends who are not in the industry and you're like, oh my God, they call me a stoner because I smoke every single night. So all up to interpretation.
Absolutely. Oh, it's always important to have a purpose before any cannabis use. Now I wanted to ask you, Mark, I mean, as someone deeply involved in cannabis, in the cannabis community for so many years, what news, trends, or developments are you most excited about in the cannabis industry right now? Especially with the recent news that maybe caught your eye.
Sorry, say the last part again. I thought you guys were laughing.
Maybe some of the recent news caught your eye from last week.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, the rescheduling is huge. I think there is a lot of chatter, a lot of naysayers, and a lot of people who are pro about it. So that's a whole conversation. Yeah. Obviously, the removal of 280E taxes is going to ideally boost the profitability and the, you know, cash flow of several companies. It is so sad to see some of my friends or clients that have gone out of business over the years because they just simply can't write off general expenses that any other business can write off. So that is a huge win. But we're not resting. You know, there's a lot more work to be done. I think descheduling is really the main goal here, or legalization. But again, even with both of those, there's still pros and cons to both. So I think it's just taking a moment to celebrate what has happened. We're not going to, you know, bring it back to the old schedule. It is rescheduled. We have to live with that, and we have to find the pros and deal with the cons, whatever those may be. So that's obviously a huge piece of news. We're seeing a ton of, you know, cannabis brands get into hemp. Some people love that. Some people hate that. They think they're selling out. Everybody needs to make money and pay for their, you know, their student loans or their kids' meals. Like, people have livelihoods to take care of. I'm seeing beverages pop up. Love beverages, because that is also great for the kind of curious demographic. People who are like, I can't smoke. I will never smoke anything, whether it's cigarettes or to, you know, or weed or any of that. They don't want to, you know, they don't want to go through the whole dabbing process. They don't want to even eat edibles because they had a crazy experience 10 years ago where they, you know, felt like they were dying. So beverages, low dose beverages have been a really great new product that I think a lot of states are coming into, especially Illinois. A lot of great beverage producers and brands in Illinois. What else? And I think just, you know, again, coming back to the whole can of curious, a lot of people just buy vape pens thinking every vape pen is equal, when it's really not. I mean, a distillate vape pen is different than a live resin vape pen is different than a rosin vape pen. So being able to, you know, do these competitions and have a judge kit, which has 15 different vape pens, and some of them are live resin, some of them are rosin, is a great way to showcase to people, hey, what do you like best? And is rosin worth the additional couple dollars or $10 to buy this, which might give you a more long-lasting, you know, psychoactive effect? It might give you better aroma and flavor profiles. It could be worth it for you to spend that extra 10 bucks. These are things that we're seeing in the marketplace, and people just getting more educated. And as you mentioned earlier, Pato, terpene profiles might be an extremely foreign concept for people, but we're seeing a lot more brands put that on their packaging and labeling to educate those consumers on what those strains will ideally give them in terms of effects or mood.
Super insightful. Thank you.
And our final question for you today, and just looking into the future, you know, we talked about it a little bit, but what are your plans for Best in Grass, both in terms of geographic expansion and kind of enhancing the competition experience?
Yeah. So we are, we're looking at literally almost every state, having great conversations with different operators, processors, cultivators in every state, and planning out our schedules over the next few years. So Michigan, Oklahoma, Illinois, New Mexico, Arizona, and Rhode Island are our plans for this year. We are having conversations with New York, New Jersey, Montana, Missouri, and several other states for the next few years. We'll probably bring it to California, Colorado, Oregon once we, you know, feel like it's appropriate there. But again, very saturated, not as much excitement there. So really just planting our flag in all of the states that are AU or medical. Even if it's medical, like Oklahoma, still a great opportunity for the medical patients, which is really where this industry was built on. They want this opportunity to help judge and crown the best of their state. So planting our flag, getting more people who are not familiar with cannabis, or they're still just spending, you know, 10 bucks a week on it. We want them to increase their basket size and be more familiar and comfortable with cannabis, and just make this something to where, as the industry progresses, as regulations and laws progress and allow more people to indulge, we can provide this type of fun, user-friendly experience to where they can feel involved in the industry. They can be reviewing as if it's Yelp or, you know, whatever else they're reviewing on, and just be a part of this. And we want to be the premier globally recognized award, to where if you win a Best in Grass trophy, that is the Michelin star, that is the Oscar to win, and have a little bit more upscale, you know, feeling to this. So our award shows, they're not going to be, you know, as of now, it's not a bunch of noise and distractions of, oh, here's, you know, all these vendor booths where everybody's smoking over here. And then, oh, the music act comes in at 9 p.m. so everybody's waiting to come late. We want everybody in the room, focus on the award show, watching the winners come on stage, giving their speeches, thanking God, thanking their mother, thanking their growers, whoever else. And it's focused on that because, again, in my previous experience, a lot of cultivators and processors are showing up ready to win, ready for their speech, and the room is half empty because everybody else is smoking outside or everybody is showing up late because, you know, Wu-Tang Clan is coming on. So this is, you know, get your butts in seats, get your cocktail if you want to have a cocktail, hit your vape pen outside, come back in and be ready to celebrate the winners and celebrate the community within each market and the industry as a whole.
Well, I would say that is a perfect place to leave off, but I have a final question for you. Where can viewers find you all? Where can they learn more about Best in Grass?
I thought you'd never ask. They can go to bestingrass.io. That's our website. They can follow us on social media at bestingrass.io as well, keeping it very simple across the board. And if anybody wants to follow me, I'm at mayor_mark. I have a bunch of, you know, travels throughout the Best in Grass, you know, tour. And yeah, we're on, you know, LinkedIn. We are going state to state. So please have everybody feel free to say hello. If anybody wants to email us, info@bestingrass.io. We are here to answer every single person's question, comment, concern. We are open to feedback from businesses, from consumers, because we are always looking to improve upon our processes and what we're doing state to state year after year. So we're here for the people and we want to provide something that everybody can indulge in, whether you're an OG heady boy or a new soccer mom or 65-year-old veteran who's switching out their glass of wine or their six-pack of Miller Lite for a nice pre-roll or a topical.
Awesome. That's a great, awesome. Way too close.
Great point to, yeah, great point to leave off on.
Exactly. And Mark, it has been an absolute pleasure delving into the world of cannabis competitions and consumer feedback platforms with you today. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you guys for the opportunity.
Yes, come back soon and until next time.
Until next time, guys. Much love.